Today is the 7th of June, 2015, Developing for Kids, Apps for Kids Conference. We're talking to Ginny Goodmanson.
Ginny Goodmanson. And I am the editor of Tech with Kids.
You've been writing around about kids for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah. I've been writing and reviewing children's tech for 19 years. So I've seen a lot, you know, from the beginning time of educational software to the period of time where the Learning Company and Knowledge Adventure sort of shot them both in the foot, you know, and they both kind of lost their market share there because they were trying to outbid each other in terms of pricing. Then the start of video games and what that role was. It was sort of interesting to watch that the family dollars on entertainment went to video games, and I think that also contributed to the end of sort of the educational software market. And then now with the mobile apps. And I have to tell you, I think the mobile apps is the most exciting period of time I've seen in the children's tech. I mean, it is the most innovative by far and away.
What's made it so interesting for you?
I think the fact that we have a touch tablet and the other aspects to it, cameras on both sides, the gyroscope aspect, but it's the touch. There was always a disconnect for particularly young children when you had to have a mouse that you were moving your hand in one place and then on the screen you'd see something happen. It's that direct contact that just draws children in and allows them to interact in a way they've never been able to interact with before. So it's exciting. I mean, I think the Wii was exciting at the time it came out as well. You know, that was another revolutionary point in children's software because all of a sudden their body became, you know, they were physically involved in playing a game. Same thing with the Kinect, where all of a sudden, you know, it's watching your body. There have been movements in each time, but by far and away, I think the app world right now is pushing at a very fast pace. Technology is moving forward for kids in exciting ways that we've never seen before.
Where do you see all this going, actually? It's jumping a bit ahead of my questions, but where do you see this going? What do you see happening?
Well, I think as we saw today at this tech conference, we're starting to get some consolidation, and people are starting to realize that while this was an exciting, easy entry point, you know, it didn't cost a lot of money to make an app, and you could not have had a lot of experience in programming and still enter this market. But now we've got a really crowded space in which very few people are making money. So I think we're heading towards consolidation. One of the questions we didn't get to today at the conference that I think is an important one that I'm wondering about myself, which is when we start to see consolidation, will we lose innovation? Because the innovators are the ones that, you know, got excited about, they had an idea and they came in and they did it. And that brought a lot of new ideas to this world. And so I don't know where we're going to be, but we're going to be less players in the near future. I think we're going to see a lot more players leaving the market and or the consolidations happening. So the question is, what happens in that situation to the innovation? And I'm going to be watching and interested to see. I hope we don't lose the innovation because of it. But I'm worried about it.
Do you see the issue of kids' privacy security as growing or being less of a concern over time?
I think we were the Wild West. I think you've heard that phrase lots of times. And there was no sheriff. But I think all of those pieces and the fact that privacy is such a big issue across the board, from your credit cards to your bank statements to everything, I think the fact that we have COPPA in place and all the other things that are happening and people are paying attention and being educated of what it means to be correct for children, it's not an area that worries me a lot. I think we're heading in the right direction.
What does worry you for the future?
I'm more a little worried about advertising to kids. That's an area that concerns me a little bit more. As people get desperate about making money, they lose some of their good intentions. And I understand that. And I understand they need to make money, but marketing to children, in my mind, is not the way to go. And I think that it's a fine line. You can market to their parents, and that's why those parental gates are very important. And I think the parental gates, marketing behind a parental gate, fine. Now you're talking about an adult who understands that when you show them something and make it very enticing, that you're actually doing an ad for them, that you're trying to sell them something. For a child, so often they'll say to their parent, they'll see it on television or they'll see it in an ad that happens to be in an app, oh, I need that. I have to have that, because they don't have that ability to filter that this is marketing. And it takes a long time for a child to understand marketing. And honestly, they don't understand it until they get above about 10, 11 years old. So anything that you're doing before that, it doesn't seem appropriate to me.
There was some talk today and some conversation about the size of the children's software market. I mean, it's something you've been following.
Yeah, I know the market's massive, but actually the children's market is pretty small within that, and I thought that was really what came out today, and it is. It's a small market of players, with only the very top making some money.
When did you start with this? You're saying you'd been doing it for 19 years. Are we talking about what we saw back then with Broderbund and companies like that did Little Critter, and now all of a sudden we've got Little Critter on an app? I mean, we've seen it going round in a circle. Is that the whole sort of gamut of what you saw?
Yeah, it is interesting to watch some of the. We're particularly seeing a lot of some of the older license starting to show up. I don't know if you heard a reference today from one of the panelists that she is actually working on a PR campaign for the Logical Journey of the Zoom Beanies. One of my favorite titles in the software industry. What's coming to an app? And we're starting to see more and more of those old licenses are being dusted off, and now we've got new technology to let a new generation of kids play with it. So I think we are starting to see some of that. The other side of that is, I made a reference to my son wearing a T-shirt with "I died of dysentery" at the very beginning of this conference, and I was trying to inspire the app developers in the room to, what is going to be the common language of this next generation? You're creating the children's media that will be that common language for them. And the problem is that title, Oregon Trail, first came to the app world, and it was fun and interesting. It was very similar. And then it's become very commercialized at this point. It's got a lot of in-app purchases in the middle of it, and it's a totally different experience. So it's funny. Sometimes they come and it's good, and sometimes they come and it's not so good.
What do you think of in-app purchases? And do you think it's more difficult to create an app which is going to cost a parent a certain amount of money? Or do you think that developers should go the freemium route?
So I think there's ways to do it that are correct. I think the endless alphabet, endless Spanish, the originator model is an interesting one. They give you high-quality content, some of their content, and if you like it, then in-app purchase to open the rest. Where I have trouble is the consumables. You're in a game and you can't get through a level unless you buy something to get you through the level. And actually, the developers have the ability to sort of track the fact that they've made it so hard that your frustration level is so high that you're forced to do it, or you're whining to your parent that you need this because you can't get through this level and you want to get through. You're hooked. I don't like that kind of in-app purchase. I think I would much rather, as a parent, as a reviewer, charge me money, give me the whole ecosystem, let my child have a positive play experience that isn't based on frustration, that's going to force them then to go buy something. I really dislike that model for kids.
Oh, I dislike it for adults, too.
Dislike it intensely. It's just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have trouble with in-app purchase. I don't have any trouble with free to try if you're giving them good quality content so that they can see if it works for their child. You know, not everything works for every child, and so this ability to try it before you buy, okay, I'm fine with that.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was the fact that we were talking, you were asking about what's coming down the pike, and there wasn't much, I mean, the needle didn't bounce, and they were talking about AR, and the needle didn't bounce, and they were talking about VR, and the needle didn't bounce. Now, we were at the Google I.O., and it was very clear to us that Google is positioning itself with its Cardboard and its Tango and its this and its that. All around Google, there are these little groups that are doing something with VR.
Immersive imagery.
Or immersive imagery.
Yeah,
and there was
nothing. They weren't going to bite on any of these things today.
Why?
Now, I think, here's my take on that. When you have an established business, and that's who was on the panel, these were people who have established businesses, until technology becomes disruptive, that it is, they see somebody being successful at it, I think the message that you were getting from the Toca Boca and from Budge Studio and from everybody on that panel about is they're staying the course. I mean, they're doing some, I mean, I thought Budge's innovation about crowdsourcing their feedback was brilliant. I mean, that's a smart move. But they didn't bite at any of the hot tech things that are going on. And I think the basic, you know, argument they were bringing back from, they were giving you pushback was, look, if we have a business model that has done well for us in the long term, that we can't jump on every new wagon that comes along because that's not a good good business model for us. And I think that I've really actually seen when there are new things like this coming out, you've got your first adopters. And they come, but so often they don't make it. They're out there doing it. I remember the first book I saw that had AR in it. And it was brilliant. You know, you use the screen, all of a sudden something came, popped out of a book. It was fascinating. I was at Toy Fair, and I loved it. But it never went mainstream, you know. And so a lot of times you need that big player to adopt it. And even then, when they do it, lots of times it doesn't make it because it's just a flash in the pan to them. So, you know, new technology takes a while to take off. And the question is, I think it was a good, there were some good comments about, don't do it just because it's new technology. It needs to actually move the play experience to more of an exciting and different and positive way for kids. So I think new technology for new technology is not necessarily the way to go.